Topic I want to discuss, which is social injustice. Social injustice has been pretty popular in the news these days in various ways it has come up. And I figured it's an opportunity to go see how halacha views it. It's come up with Black Lives Matter. I'm not taking any particular stance on any of these issues. I'm just raising the issues that certainly has become widespread throughout America. Social injustice and Black Lives Matter. We certainly know that blacks have went through a history of slavery, segregation throughout. Maybe it's not formally in place anymore. Whether it exists amongst, police or not, I'm not here to judge, to tell you my position. I don't have a position. Certainly it did exist in the past where blacks were treated differently, had different rules for blacks. There's no question about that. And then Jews as well. We have a history of different countries have been treated differently, different rules for us. And we've been subject to that sort of treatment as well. And even though maybe there are no particular rules in the government now against Jews, we might be feeling it with the current events of different zip codes that are being shut down, red zones and orange zones, while other areas that have upticks just as high, if not higher, are not being shut down. Now they're going not only to zip codes, but they're going to block by block, shutting down different blocks amongst the Orthodox community. So these are social injustice which we are currently facing in different ways. I'm not, again, taking any stance on it. I'm just presenting issues that we know. And, you have to, balance many different aspects. What makes Choshen Mishpat so tricky, other areas of halacha, Yerdeya and Or Chaim and Ibn Ezer, any case, almost any case that you're going to encounter in modern day will almost always have been addressed in some Sif, Shulchan Aruch, or Tshuva. I'm going to say 90% you could probably find it written. Some or you have to just find it. When it comes to Choshen Mishpat, it's probably the opposite, where 90% of the cases are not actually discussed, because every case is there's something unique about it. You can always be mechalik, this particular case, that guy claimed money, but there's a different situation. There's almost never an exact replica in Shulchan Aruch to what's actually happening now. So Choshen Mishpat, you have to be medama milsa milsa. You have to compare an existing model to see how it compares to a current situation. But there's always chilukim. You can always make distinctions. It's endless. So that's what makes Choshen Mishpat. One of the reasons why Choshen Mishpat is so hard. Liam Mayer just shared with me this morning. I was talking to him, and he said that there's Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of Maseches and Pirkei Avos talks about Mesunim Medin. Having Mesunim Medin, you have to judge patiently. So having Mesunim Medin, it can be understood you should judge an individual. Dam l'kaf tzchus, don't be quick to judgment. But most understand it refers to as a dayan. As a dayan, you don't be so quick in passing judgment, figure out the case. And the simple reason is because Choshen Mishpat is very hard, it's very challenging. But Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not because it's challenging per se, but because Choshen Mishpat is the deepest area of Chachma, not because of the difficulty, but because it's in the highest recesses of the world, of Shemayim, it's the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's such a Kadosh area, just be slow, careful, and precise before you give a psak, before you give a harah. Not because it's hard. It could be hard, but because it's the highest level of Torah. That's why you have to be Mesunim Bedin. So Choshen Mishpat is very, very hard. So, even if we're going to find examples in Halacha about showing different levels of injustice to different social groups, you could be mechalik. Nowadays, what we're currently seeing could be based on political reasons, right? Why Governor Cuomo and de Blasio are making certain rules, maybe because the Jews didn't vote for them or whatever, they're getting back at them. Who knows? We don't know what really is behind it. It could be for medical reasons. What they're saying is good. Some of the communities are not observing the social distancing and masks, and they deserve to get penalized. What about the Chil Hashem aspect? What about that element? Just because Dina Malchus Dina, you don't have to listen, but what about it does affect how people perceive us? Someone just told me the other day, he's a doctor and he wears a yarmulke, and he's felt that since the past few weeks, people have been looking at him differently, just because he wears a yarmulke now, because what's in the front page of all the news? So even though maybe we don't have to listen according to Halacha, doesn't mean we shouldn't listen, because there's that element of Chil Hashem. What about Israel versus other governments? Does this apply to Israel? Just this past week, the Israeli government is shutting down every yeshiva. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, don't listen and go ahead and open the yeshivas. There should be yeshivas, wear masks, social distance, but you should not shut down yeshivas. So is the Israeli government subject to the same rules as Dina D'Malchus Adina? What about if it goes against halacha? They're telling us not to daven, not to have Simchas Torah, not to have minyanim. Is that something we should listen to? How far does Dina D'Malchus Adina go? So these are the questions I want you just to keep in mind. I'm not a Dayan, I'm not a Baki in anything, but certainly not in Choshen Mishpat. But it's something I think it's good for us to talk about these questions to raise awareness. For some reason, I've been getting a lot of Choshen Mishpat Shilas the past few months. I tell them, I don't know the answers. I want to learn it. But it's important to at least be aware to raise issues, to raise questions. So let's start with this first limud. I'm not giving any psak. I'm just going to walk through some of the basic marmakomos about dina de malchus adina and when it comes to social injustice. So the first marmakom, which everyone quotes, is firstly, what's the reason, what's the basis of dina de malchus adina? What gives someone the right, what gives a government the right, the ability to make a rule? And what tells us we have to listen to them? Who says I need to listen to the Torah? So if you look at the Ran number one here, the Ran in the Darm, Daf Chaf Ches Amun Aleph, the Ran writes, it's on the share screen, those who are following on Zoom, the Ran writes, reading just the bold. The Dafka b'malchei ov de kochavim amar dina de malchus adina. Only with respect to a non-Jewish government, we say that we have to listen to their rules. Mipnei she'aretz shelo, it's their land, it's their property. And the yachalomar lehem im lo tasu mitzvosai egareish eschem min aretz. If you don't want to listen, leave. Like if someone comes to my house and doesn't follow the rules of my house, leave my house. So now, on a more global scale, a country could say that this is my house, this is my land. Either follow the rules or leave. So it's about entering the property of someone who owns the land. Aval b'malche Yisrael lo the. Government of Israel, says the Ran hundreds of years ago, they don't have the right because Lefisha Eretz Yisrael Ko Yisrael Shutvin Ba. I have as much ownership on Eretz Yisrael as does the government. They have no more right than I do, at least from a halachic perspective. Yes, they are making rules, making decrees, but I don't have to listen to them because I also own Eretz Yisrael. I might not be living there, but I have rights to it. I would only be shaykh if you actually live in Eretz Yisrael. So according to the Ran, Rav Chaim Kinevsky, now he doesn't need my justification, what he's doing, obviously, according to that, this would not pose an issue because Malchi Yisrael has no right to create laws, but I don't have to listen to them because it's all about ownership of property. And since the ownership of Eretz Yisrael is owned by everyone who lives there equally, or in whatever chalik they have, they don't have to listen to Dina the Malchus Dina, but the whole premise is based on bailus, based on ownership of property. That's the understanding of the Ran. But if it comes to England, it comes to America, it comes to any other country in the world, the king, the president, the government owns the property, they could kick you out of the property. They could kick you out. They have the right to take you out and just send you off. Rosh Hashanah is a question of carrying a Reuven and things of that sort. They certainly own that right. It's just that since Rabbim actually use it, we can't carry in it. But that's a different question of ownership, I believe. Nassau County, New York State, America owns the highways. In Eretz Yisrael, according to this Ran, you would not have to listen to Dina Malchusadin in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Ran says. Yeah? Ein echanami. Now, according to the Rashbam and the Rambam, this would not be the case. The Rashbam and Rambam say differently. It's not based on the ownership of the king, the ownership of property. Rather, the Rashbam writes in number 2, Sheko bnei ha-malchus mikabim aleim mirtzonam chukei ha-melech u'mishpatav. Everyone who lives there, by you deciding to live in the land, you're willing to take on all the rules. I could live in a different country if I wanted to. I'm deciding to live here in America, in Eretz Yisrael, in France, in Spain. And by me living there, that is my way of accepting the king, accepting the government. I must listen to the rules. Hilkach din gamruhu. And that's even if the king has no right to throw me out. Let's say they talk about a situation, a union. Let's say you have a union, or you live in an apartment complex or co-op where there are certain rules that exist there. Let's say they don't have the right to evict you. But I decide to live in this property. I decide to live in this area. I decide to be part of this union. So even though they may not have the ownership of the property, the land, I have to listen to the rules. By me participating in this co-op, by me participating in this union, in this whatever it is, it's my ritzon, it's my interest and willingness to live there, I have to follow the rules. Not because the melech, because the mayor, he has control. It's because the people decided to listen and willingness to listen to the rules. The Rambam echoes this point as well. The Rambam writes that number 3, he talks about the concept of listening And he qualifies and says, "Bamed Devar Marmurim." Here you go, on the share screen, number 3, the bold. "Bamed Devar Marmurim," when is this all true? "Bimelech Shematbeo Yotze," when is his currency, his coins. "Yotzen Ba'osen Haratzos," when his currency is used commonly throughout the countries. "Sherei Hiskimolav B'nei Osa Aretz," people agreed to use his currency, they accept the currency. "V'samcha Daitan," again, the focus on the B'nei Ha'aretz. "B'nei Aretz," they rely, "Shehu Adonayim V'heim Lo'avadim," we are the slaves, we are the servants, we are the people of his country. So it's the willingness of the people. So in Eretz Yisrael, if you decide to live there, you must listen to the rules. Granted, I own my property. Granted, we're all shutvim together. We're all shutvim. But if it's based on the Rambam and the Rashbam, my willingness, my decision to live here, that means I'm following all the rules. And according to the Rambam and the Rashbam, one would have to listen to all the rules in Eretz Yisrael. So this becomes an issue. Let's say you the zoning rules. Here in the town of Hempstead, there are a lot of zoning rules. You move over to Cedarhurst, there are not as many zoning rules in terms of building. Do I need to listen? Do I have to listen if I'm going to build an extension, I'm going to build a bathroom in the basement, do I have to listen to these rules? It's not the United States government telling me what the rules. It's a local township here. Do I have to listen to them? They can't kick me out of my house. They can make a stop order to me, but they can't throw me out of my house. So would I have to listen to them? So it seems that according to both opinions, it seems that you have to listen. If you assume it's based on your willingness, I decide to live in Woodmere. That means I have to listen to all the rules in Woodmere from top to bottom, from the most serious offense to basic rules like the zoning. If it's based on the ability to live in Eretz, the ownership of the property, then there's yesh lachlor. The mayor of Woodmere can't throw me out. The mayor of Sears can't throw me out of the land for not listening to, I don't think, listening to the zoning rules. But at the same time, he does own the property, though. He says, if you want to listen to live in my house, my area, my property, you have to listen to my rules. So yesh lachkor, whether or not within the Ran one would have to listen to zoning rules, but it certainly is a good advice, always listen to the zoning rules. Yes, you could people play games here and there. It gets into the question of listening to traffic rules as well. Going through a stop sign or red light if nobody's around, even if someone is around, running through a stop sign, is that a violation of Din de Malchus Adina? Going above the speed limit, are these things that are Din de Malchus Adina? So it gets very tricky once you start allowing, but everyone goes above the speed limit a few miles here and there, 5 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles. So these get to a very tricky area. I'm not going to focus on traffic patterns and rather traffic rules, but these are things that can be discussed, zoning rules, traffic rules, in terms of the koach of Dina, the Malchus of Dina. But for our purposes, the machlokis is, again, is it because there's a king, because a person owns the land and he could kick me out, and it's his house, his rules, or because we decide to live here, and our decision would now require us to pay attention to listen to all the rules that are imposed upon us. So now, how far, which dinim, what's the scope of dinim de malchus adina? So if you take a look at number 5 here, the Ur Zeruah. The Ur Zeruah, one of the Rishonim, he quotes 2 days. Number 5, he writes, Kosta Rabbeinu Avi Ha'ezri Zal, Yesh Mefarshim Dedafka Bekarka, Shayech Lemeimar dinim de malchus adina. Some say that the Dina de Malchus Adina only applies to that which relates to property, but doesn't relate to metalklin, doesn't relate to damages, it's not property damages, it doesn't relate to traffic violations, only that which relates to karka, that's one opinion. V'yeshomrim, there are those who hold, afilu bein shar inyane mamon, any other monetary issue. It could relate to ribis, interest, and loans, and claims. It could extend itself beyond karka. Now, similarly, this machlokas depends on the machlokas earlier. If you assume that the Ran, that it's based on the owner of the property, it's his land, his rules, so it seemingly might apply only to karka, to land. The focus, the Ran, was on the karka, on the eretz, on the ground, on the land. So maybe it's limited only to that. But if it's based on the Rashbam and the Rambam, that you decide to live in this guy's property, in his land, in his country, in his state, in his county, so you're willing to follow the rules. Not just the rules of the karka, but all the rules of the county, all the rules of the state, all the rules of the town. So that's a very important machlokas. What is the scope? What is the application of Dina, the Malchus Adina? And we could raise that for ourselves as well. Do they have the right to shut down our shuls? Do they have the right to shut down our businesses? Is that considered property? Is that considered karka? Is that, that's Dine Mamunas, okay, shutting down businesses. But shutting down shuls, religion, they have the right to shut down that which does not relate to property or doesn't relate at all to Dine Mamunas. Do they have the right, you know, let's talk about segregation for a moment, even though we don't have it anymore. Do they have the right, from a halachic standpoint, to send certain people to the back of the bus and certain people to the front of the bus? Is that something that there's different lines for people to go on? Do they have the right to make it? You have to listen to those rules? It reminds me, I went to, I don't want to say too much, it's public information, I guess, but I went to a pizza store someplace, somewhere, maybe you've come across this. It's a very long line, a long wait out the door. And then you notice there's like a VIP lane. And the guy just go right up to VIP lane, and they don't wait, they take it and go. And like we're like waiting for 45 minutes for pie, and the guy walks right up to VIP lane, and then there's like a VIP lane is like empty, and then you see there's next pizza coming out, the person thinks it's theirs, and then there's like another back door VIP, and they threw the parking lot in the back of the store for another like VIP lane. So different people pay enough money, you pay $50 for a pie, you can get what you want. There are different rules, which lines you go on, different parts of the bus. So I'm not saying any of this is right. I think it's completely wrong to have such a thing. I know Disney makes or used to make a lot of money off of those fast pass things, and you pay enough money, you do what you want. It's actually funny. This past Shabbos, we were somewhere and for a kiddush, and someone was telling my wife that they thought Corona is a great way to train their children. How to social distance and follow rules and wear masks and everything. So our family, we never follow any rules. I always cut the lines, I always pay the guy to cut around this, cut around that. But now we have the chance to teach our children we're not entitled, listen to the rules, the mask and social distancing. I'm thinking that's completely warped. To just try to always pay the guy to go around the back. So yeah, the people feel privileged, people feel entitled, different lines. So do we have to listen to these rules of segregation? Is it something when they shut down our shuls, do we have to listen to them from a halachic standpoint? So how far do the rules of Dina D'Malchus Dina extend? So the Shulchan Aruch, if we look at number 6 now, this is in Hilchos Gzela, Simen Shin Samech Tes. The last few lines in reading just the bold, the Chabar writes, Yeshomim, Delo Amrinan Dina D'Malchus Dina, Ella Bimasim Mechosim, which are taxes, Hatluim Bekarka. There are those who hold that they only have the right to charge taxes to us, property taxes, not even income tax, not sales tax, just property tax. That's all they have the right to do. Ki HaMelech goes there, Shelo Yaduru Ba'artzo, Kim B'derechze, because the king decreed that we can't live in his property until we pay taxes. But he has no rights over our businesses, over income tax, just on the karka. But Bashar Dvarimlo, there is no right, that's based on the Rush. Then the Ramah quotes, V'yesh holkim, there are the others who hold, V'sirlu, da'aminen, b'chol davar dina d'malchus dina. Every aspect of life, they have the ability to impose their dina d'malchus dina, and at the end of the Ramah, he says, v'chein ikka. So the way the Ramah paskins, it's not in bold, but that last line there on the top of Amud Beis, that v'chein ikka, he says, we paskin that dina d'malchus dina applies across the board regarding all areas of life. We have to listen to them. There's no question about it. We have to listen to them. So what happens if the rules are unfair? What if this group of people have certain rules and this group have different rules? Let's say the taxes are different for Jews than the others. Is that something we have to listen to? How far do we have to go? So if you look at the Chuvas Maharik, the Chuvas Maharik was a Rishon of Yosef Ben Shom Kolon. He lived in the 15th century in France. He was the great Rav of the Talmud, Rav Avadia Bartanura, the Rav, Bartanura and the Mishnayos. he says as follows. He was addressing a situation where the Jews were being taxed more than other religions. Is that fair? Sounds very unfair. So what would Halacha say about this? So the Maharik says, if you look at number 7, reading just the bold, V'gam ein lomer dehachi. Don't tell me, it's part of a longer tshuva. Don't tell me dehacha lo shayach lememer dina d'malchusa. Don't apply dina d'malchusa in this case because it's unfair. Kevin she Yisrael pare yosem yakusi. Just because we pay more taxes than the others, the non-Jews, don't tell me that's unfair. Sherei kasva Mordechai. Delo amrinan ella kishamelach mashe midosav. It's only true. We only listen to dina d'malchusa when it's Mashra Midosa, when it's equal, when there's social justice across every social group, every religious group has the same. Devadai pshita, he says, it certainly is pashit. This shapir mikre mashra bidosav. This is called social justice. Why? Shekaven shekol Yehudi parea b'shava davar katzav. Because every Jew pays the same. Hey, the Muslims are paying different. The Christians are paying different. But the Jews, they're all paying the same. Mashra bidosav. So according to the Ma'arik, it goes based on social groups. You can have differences amongst the Jews versus the Christians versus the Muslims. Seemingly, you could have difference between different color skins. You could have you could make any social difference: upper class, middle class, and lower class. So as long as that class, that grouping is a unit, so it's considered okay. It's not called unfair. Mashmi dosa means in that particular caste is equal. But to say, you know, Jews, that the upper class Jews get this and the lower class Jews get something different, that would be a problem. But the moment every single person in that unit, in that social class is the same, that's called Mashmi Midosa. That's what the Ma'arik writes. One of the Rishonim. This discussion could go on and on. Where do you draw the line? How do you draw lines? We'll see in just a second. There seems to be a steer in the Ramah, which might help how to draw lines. Just a suggestion we'll get to in a second. But yeah, drawing lines could be so many different ways. So just one more line in the Ma'arik here. He says, "V'lo mi ba'i melech." Not only a king who makes his rules. Ela filu kol hedyo yachal lipso kiyotze bezo ba'artso. If a guy owns his property, you're living in, you know, a certain duke's property, even though he's not the king, but he's a duke of a big area, in his property, you need to follow his rules. He may not have as much of an official position in the government, but this is his huge property of acres upon acres of land, and you're buying a little parcel of land. You must listen to his rules. Because it all depends on the koach of the king. The king can make different sections and different social classes. It has to make sense, though. It can't be arbitrary, but once it's a certain social class, and then the Merrick felt you're allowed to. Now, Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this lahalacha. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Samach Tes in number 8, the Mechaber writes, it's actually the Ramah in the parentheses. The Ramah writes, Va'filu tziva she'Yisrael yitain yosem me'ov de kochavim, even if the governor, the mayor, the king, the president commands the Jews to pay more than the goyim, we call makom mikre davar katziv l'chalish. That's called social justice, which is fascinating, hard for us to understand. But you know, as Yossi pointed out, you have different rules for upper classmen, middle classmen, higher tax brackets. We have concepts of that, so it's not so far. Now, it's unfair to us, being the Jews. They decide that we have this particular tax, but this is Ma'arik speaking. He was a Jew himself, and yet he felt halachically this was acceptable, that we could decide to move somewhere else where they treat us fairly. But if we're deciding to live in France and to live in these communities, these countries, we have to listen to the rules. That's called Mashmi Midosav. Now, the challenge with this is in number 9. Number 9, this is a quotation from the Ramah as well. This is found in also Simon Shin Samach Tes in Hilchas Gzela. Im ha-melech chakak lebal umanos echad. If the king decreed upon a certain group of professionals, a certain industry, kagon shechakak lemal v'beribis ezadavar. Your lenders, your banks, special taxes for the bankers. You're making a lot of money on the interest. We're gonna have a special tax for you. Yeshomim de lo amrinan be dina de malchus adina. There, we do not apply dina de malchus adina. Hol v'eino chakak lekol. That doesn't apply across the board. Why is it fair that the banks pay taxes and the real estate guys don't? The accountants don't. Why are you picking that group? So the Be'er HaGra writes in number 10, Tzarechin. I understand. Ein Sivav, which we just saw, which says that you can have different social groups, that you could have higher taxes for the Jews. So why can't you have higher taxes for the banks? What's the difference? And leaves that to Tzarechin. So my suggestion, maybe the many ways, I didn't see anyone make any suggestions, but my own suggestion is that there's a concept of social class, of Jews, of religion. That's a way to create a group. But by industry, we're not defined by what we do as for a living. You know, all the accountants in one group, all the bankers, all the lawyers, all the doctors, that's not a social class. A social class is by religion. A social class could be by a district, by where you live. But by a profession, perhaps the Ramah felt that's not a social class. I don't know if that's what he had meant. The Gra didn't give that answer. He made a tzarchin. But all I'm pointing out is, as I think Yossi was saying, it's very difficult how to draw lines, where to draw lines, but this is a discussion. So just because maybe we feel like we're being targeted because the Orthodox communities, doesn't mean it's against halacha. It might be within the rules of Dina the Malchus Adina. However, It's not so clear. Because if, I don't want to give Governor Cuomo any suggestions, he's not listening to my shiur anyways, but if he were to say, you know, all Orthodox Jews have to be shut down, that would actually be mashal midosa. That's actually equal. According to the Ma'arik, that's actually considered acceptable, because it's at least equal all Jews across the board. By him now picking certain districts, that's not actually equal, because here in Woodmere, we could have our shiur, and we could have our tzibur, but in Brooklyn, they can't. So it's not really quite mashva midosov. But of course, I don't have to tell you that you know, there's a concern of health, of course, and I don't have to talk about COVID. So unclear exactly how this applies. I'm not making my own suggestion. I'm just giving food for thought about this issue. Everything that we face in news, in the current events, it could always have a perspective from a Jewish perspective. So this is just offering some ideas of the halachic perspective. I want to add one last wrinkle in the discussion, which is how we deal with when Dina Malchus Dina goes against Torah values. Right? If it's taxing, there's no Torah values that it's up against. It's just taxing. Okay, it's unfair. You know, if it's different rules and zoning rules, building, okay, that's unfair that Jews have a certain rules how to build their houses, but that's not against Torah. But now one can at least take a position that shutting down the shuls is against Torah. It's against the Minyanim, it's against Simchas Torah, it's against our core values. Now, yes, again, the counter would be that, well, to save lives. So I'm not saying, just from a strictly Dina Malchus Dina up against Torah, how does Torah tell us what to do? So if you look at number 11 now, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Hanosi Isha B'makom Shedanin B'dini Ovdei Kochavim. Let's say you get married to a woman who's in an area where they have halachas, the rules, the secular rules. Umesa Ishto, and the wife dies. Lo yuchal avia Ishto, oshar yorshel omar. You can't have the father of the wife or any other relative of the wife say, kol anosi isha al das haminog hu nosi. When you marry the woman, you marry based on the minog of the makom, the rules of the area that we live in. V'nidon hadavar b'dinei ovdei kochavim, that we have to go to the secular courts to figure out how Yerusha works. Dimesa, which they say, if she dies, lo yarsha b'alel, the husband does not take over her property. Oh, kedom lezeh. V'lek b'zeh mishum dinei de malchusa. We don't apply dinei de malchusa in that case. Right? The claim is that the Torah tells us that a husband inherits the wife. But this couple lived in an area where the secular rule was that they don't. It's not true. They do not. The wife does not inherit it to the husband. Rather, the father of the wife should inherit it. So what do you listen to? Din malchus dina. Shouldn't that be the overriding factor? And the Shulchan Aruch writes, v'lek b'zemishum dina malchusa. D'lo amrinan dina de malchusa ela b'davar sheish bo hana lemelech. Oh, shula takaris b'nei amindina. When do we apply dina de malchus dina? Only where there's something beneficial for the king personally, his taxes, let's say, or something that's going to help the Medina, that's going to help, you know, traffic violations, that's to help the Medina. Zoning rules sometimes are the benefit of the Medina. The reason why you need certain feet between houses, because if there's a chas v'shalom fire, that doesn't make the adjacent house get the fire either. So when it's tikkun the Medina, that's when we have dina de malchus adina. But if the situation of aloshia dunu b'dine ovde kachavim, not to say every rule goes to the court system, because every halacha we have could ultimately have a case in the court system as well. Because dim kain, batlu, kol dini Yisrael. And then it's going to override the entire Torah when it comes to these cases. That means all of Parshas Mishpatim, all of Baba Kama, Baba Mitzi, Baba Basa, throw it out the window. All of Sanhedrin, throw it out the window, because dina de malchus adina. And therefore, they're limited, dina de malchus adina is limited only to that which, again, the king gets hana from, or to tikkun for the B'nai Medina. And the Shach comments on this din, and we'll finish with the Shach here. He says, the last couple lines here in the bold, he talks about this Shulchan Aruch. This is found in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Ayin Gimel. Afilu l'shar poskim. Even according to other poskim, remember we had the discussion, to what extent does Dina Malchus Dina extend itself? Is it only to Karka? Or is it to all areas of Mammon? So even according to those who believe that Dina de Malchus Dina applies across the board to all Dini Mammonus, Hainu Dafka Masha'enu Neged Din Tarasenu. It's only if it doesn't go up against our Torah. Ela She'enu Mefor Shetzlenu. Avaladun B'dini Agoyim B'chol Davar Neged Tarasenu Chalila. To have a Din to go up against our Torah, Vaday Lo Yasekim B'Yisrael. That we don't listen to. So if Dina de Malchus Adina goes against our Torah, we won't trust them. So if they're telling us to shut down Minyanim, we wouldn't listen to them. Again, now you have to get into, you know, have to weigh in. Well, how valuable is Minyan? How dangerous is the virus? What effect is Chil Hashem? So again, I'm not telling you my opinion. I don't have an opinion. I'm saying these are different factors one has to keep in mind. So now just to bring it back for a moment to this this program Yerucha. So that really ends this shiur. But these packages to